right on. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 516. I'm Lisa Sheps, along with co-host Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And Rebecca Melanson. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Stay with us. It is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. On the show today, we have The Vortex and their show Chickens in the Yard. Then we're going to have City Theater and Parallel Lives. And finally, the People of Color Comedy Festival and workshops. And of course, we'll have lively conversations of world theater. We're going to have news and views and people who can't talk very well in the microphone today. So just stick with us. We'll be right back. Okay, that was a bit of fun. Hello, that was a bit of fun.
Hello. I'm taking pictures of y'all in the background.
she's doing stuff, and we're trying to do the show.
I was taking pictures of you guys working hard.
Hardly
so
working.
Funny.
Okay, so here we are. We're going to see if Rebecca Melanson's microphone works. Go, Rebecca.
Does it work?
It
yes.
does work. Woo! Excellent. Ooh, it's a little hot.
I was like, okay. It's loud.
Yeah, we're going to turn that down a little bit. So, checking in with you, Nicole Shiro.
I'm here. Hello.
I'm hearing sound that I can't tell
where
it's coming from.
I don't know where the phone is coming
from. Oh, you know what that is? That's my phone.
Computer. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm just going to say.
You know what it is? It's never normally that loud. It's normally a quiet,
I'm just going to say that I'm going to be a big mess today.
But today it's hello.
Checking in with Rebecca Melanson. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello. How are you on Big Mess Day? This is great.
It's a good Big Mess Day. Yeah.
Rebecca's got the cabaret mic. Yeah, and she's wireless.
We have the wireless cabaret mic today. That's good.
Yes.
It's a new era in Offstage and On
dun,
the Air.
Dun, dun.
So I'm going to introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio. May I?
Yeah, please.
Okay,
people.
Great. Let's pass the microphone over here for those that don't have a microphone next to them, so that they can use the what we like to call the
cabaret mic.
So we have Mindy Raskinen. Hi, Mindy.
I love being on the show.
Now, why isn't your microphone working? Get right up on the microphone. Say something.
As I said, I love being on the show.
Oh, I see. You know what? No, nobody can hear you because. So that microphone is not working right now.
Well, I'll take
the I'll fix it in a second.
One.
I know why.
Be
it's
like
going to be one of those days.
Okay.
And we have Alice Stanley. Hi, Alice.
Hey.
That was good. Good. Paul Krause. Cruz.
Hello.
You know, we had that big discussion on how to pronounce your last name. Give it to me the right way.
Cruz.
Yeah. See, right. Krause wasn't one that we talked about doing. We have Kat Palacios.
Hello.
We have Roxy Becker.
Howdy there.
Well, now y'all have you got
like,
guys have microphones
got
right there. You
the
don't have to.
Cabaret mic is the hot mic.
And we have Helen Rain Messenger. Hi, Helen.
Hello, Lisa.
We haven't met before. Have we met before?
No, we've never met before.
Oh, good. Excellent. Welcome.
Thank you.
The song that we heard going in was Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. Yes, and that was from...
The Cher Show?
The Cher Show, and that was... I'm totally blanking on the name. Who sang that? Who plays Cher in the Cher Show?
Well, there's three different Chers.
The one that plays Cher.
Well, they all play Cher.
They have different names. There's one that has one name.
But
But the third one's name is Cher. Sherry Renee Scott. Thank you. who's up for a Tony, and I don't understand why, because I saw it and I didn't think she did a very good job, and I love her.
Sherry Renee Scott?
No, that's not it.
Stephanie
What's her name?
J.
Stephanie
Block.
J. Block. That's what I was trying to get your help for.
Well, there was three different chairs. I didn't know which one you were going with, so I know they have technical different names, but...
All right, so we're going to... let's... Here, we're gonna. I'm gonna bring it down for one moment. I want everybody to just listen to this.
Because of you, I felt hopeless.
Because you told me you didn't like my voice, I started to not like it either.
I know it was a joke, but it still hurt me.
Because you said rude things about my work, I started to question my own voice.
Because of your negative comments online, I've almost quit doing the one thing that makes me happiest in life.
Because you shared something about me that was private, I felt embarrassed.
Because you said hi to me on the first day of school, I felt included and I knew that I was going to be okay.
Because of you, I felt wanted and not alone in this world.
Because of you sharing your story with me, I feel comfortable sharing my own.
Because you were there for me, I feel beautiful.
Because you were there when I was coming out, you helped me regain my confidence.
I'm still here today because of you.
Okay, wasn't that a gorgeous sentiment?
It is.
Okay, so you might wonder, why am I playing that on offstage and on the air? You know, I do a lot of work around social justice and anti-bullying, anti-bias, and this is one of the better PSA campaigns I've ever seen, because not only does it call out the causes of bullying and bias, it also gives people very practical, useful ways that a single person can make a difference in another person's lives in very small yet extremely meaningful ways. And we all work in an industry that many of us, I would venture to guess most of us, have experienced bullying growing up. A lot of us did. So I think it was just really important for me to play that when I saw it. I saw it on television and I just started weeping. And I said, I just want to get the word out, because there's no reason for bullying, but more important to me to just let people know that if you say a positive word to someone, that does more to help them than any legislation could ever do. So I wanted to play that because I had the bully pulpit. So there you go.
I love it.
Me too.
That made me happy.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome, Roxy. Don't realize either. Say that again, Mindy.
Oh, and it's the things you don't realize either. Like, I remember I wrote a letter to somebody back when I was in a sorority for like 2 seconds. And later, years later, apparently that letter helped her through like suicidal thoughts and awful, awful things. And I'm like, I had no idea. I was just being nice.
So I think that we as artists, as theater artists and theater patrons can do a lot to say kind words to people.
I think just as humans, we can do that.
Well, I know, but that's, I'm just talking to.
Yeah,
I agree. Totally agree. Sure. All right. Let's get back to the
matters at hand.
Thank you. God, I cannot think today.
Matters at hand.
There were some interesting reviews, some interesting openings this week. One of my favorites, I'm just going to really highlight two. It's called Octet by Dave Malloy, who, among other things, wrote Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1825-34 Hike. it has already been extended. It's an a cappella, hold on, what do they call it? A cappella chamber opera. And I still, after reading the review, of course, I say this a lot, I don't know exactly what the plot is, but the vehicle for this thing happens around the internet, as it would be in a 12-step program, and it actually takes place in a church, like a church meeting hall with folding chairs and stuff like that. And it just sounds amazing.
It's so funny. That's about all I got from reading everything, too. But yet I'm still so curious and fascinated by it.
Ben Brantley made it a critic's pick. It's at the Pershing Signature Center. And he said it promises to be the most original and topical musical of the year.
Interesting.
I mean, and he sees a few things.
Yeah, he sees a lot. He doesn't normally. Yeah, that's a lot from Ben.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they talk about, again, you've heard this in other a cappella shows before, about how there is no musicians, but they do say that the only musical instrument is a pitch pipe, which comes out of different people's pockets at different times. And he says, there's no need for electronic bells and whistles, yet the weapons plied by the eight uniformly excellent performers here are nothing more than lips, larynx, lungs, and so forth. Stuff that most people have been born with for millennia. So it's directed by Annie Tippy, or Type, T-I-P-P-E. I don't know this person, so I have no idea whether I'm pronouncing his name properly. But it looks really great.
That's cool.
That's the end of the story.
Yeah, no, I saw that too, but yes.
He says there's a lot of movement and it's really good, but there's no choreographer credited. So
interesting.
Yeah. So my guess is...
That is interesting because we were talking recently how so many choreographers are credited in straight plays these days with movement. And then to not to have movement called out with music and then not have... Interesting.
Yep. So I should introduce... We've had one other person join our ranks today. If they could find a microphone and introduce themselves, because I know I will butcher your last name. So go. Give it to us.
Okay. My name is Wen Nguyen.
Nguyen.
That's my last name.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I am a volunteer with Lucky Chaos Productions.
Wonderful. Great. We're happy to have you here. We're going to talk to you specifically about what y'all are doing later on in the show. So we really don't have a lot of time to talk about a lot of things, so I guess I sort of have to pick and choose. One of the things that I do want to say is that My Fair Lady is closing, which makes me very sad.
I saw that and I went, ooh, Lisa's got to be a little upset.
Yeah, especially with current cast that I really wanted to see.
Let me call him and tell him to keep it open for you.
Would you mind? That'd be great. I will also call up that, but not talk about a lot because we just don't have time. This is an article in the Times and I would encourage people to read it. You can find a link at our website when I post a show, offstageonair.com. It's called Solving the Six Biggest Mystery of Broadway This Season. And they talk about, and this is sort of an interesting idea, they talk about things in the shows where you go, how did they do that? Or what's the deal about that? And one of those is in Network. There's a section that shows it's on video and presumably it's happening live. And the question was, is it indeed happening live? And the answer is yes, it is happening live. They bring a crew out onto the street every night to do it. But what I also found interesting, they have several things on backup. They have an indoor version in case of inclement weather, and then they have two taped versions, one at the daytime and one during the nighttime, just in case something goes all hooey.
I read that and I was like, that's brilliant, that's so awesome.
And I love the two times they've had to use the taped ones. I want to it seemed very interesting. One time I can't remember what happened, but they talked about things that have happened on the street, like this somebody came through, a tourist or somebody, and asked one of the actors who was on camera being shot live directions, asking for directions. There was a costume Teletubby that walked through accidentally. So I thought that was funny.
Well, I mean, what happens in Times Square, you never know.
Exactly.
I'm surprised it wasn't quarantined. I know when I was there last summer, like, they were shooting a little bit in Times Square and they had people like, do not walk here. Do not go away. Get out. And so yeah.
Well, that's for a film shoot.
That's for a film and that's a permit and it's totally different.
Yeah. That's true.
And this thing happens every night and it's interesting. They have one actor walks across the street, but everybody else has to stay on the side of the street where the theater is.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's very interesting. There's also some other things like how does the woman in The Ferryman who's in a wheelchair stay, which when I saw it, I said the same thing. She basically sits still for the entire first act. Oh, and you think that was all that she was going to do, but she comes to life later, which is very, very interesting. So I want to talk about that, my friend. Then this, you must be crazy about this. Jason Robert Brown, who does a monthly, I forgot what he calls it. I'm going to try to get the right
I can't remember the name of it, but it's kind of like his Jim Caruso-y kind of thing.
Yes,
in a way.
He does it monthly at the at Subculture. He does a concert every month. This month, for his 50th performance, it's going to be him and one Stephen Sondheim.
I know. I saw that. Hello.
And if it can't get more amazing, Katrina Link is going to be part of it.
But just that? But wait, there's more.
Yeah, and it happens on June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is interesting for me, this is actually has nothing to do with anything, but I lived in New York for a long time, and Town Hall to me was always Town Hall, but that's not what it's called. It's called The Town Hall.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Do you know what's so funny is I discovered the in front of it just recently too.
Yeah.
And I was like, shame on you, New York lady.
The last thing I'm going to talk about before we boot scoot about here is second to last. Well, SpongeBob SquarePants is going on tour.
Yes, it is.
It's a non-equity tour, but they also changed the name. Did you know that?
I thought I saw that it was different when I saw like the tours announced going, and I didn't go back to look.
It used to be called on Broadway SpongeBob SquarePants, and for this, it's going to be the SpongeBob Musical.
Huh. Crickets. Got the square pants out of it.
It sounds kind of a lame.
They took
switch.
The square pants out.
Hmm. Yeah, don't know why.
I don't either.
But so they are launching in Schenectady. They've already announced Boston, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, San Francisco, and Toronto. But the rest of the tour, which will be interesting to us, Dayton, Hartford, Connecticut, Houston, Texas, mm-hmm. Nashville, Tennessee, Oklahoma City, Philadelphia, and San Antonio.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to make sure I get over to see it. Everybody said such wonderful things about it.
Well, I mean, the music's by David Bowie and Sarah Bareilles and Cyndi Lauper. And, I mean, they wrote songs specifically for that. So
And
as my niece Morgan likes to say, that SpongeBob is naughty. And he is.
Never seen anything SpongeBob except for...
God, he's naughty. Right, he's great.
Yeah, never seen it. So the last thing I want to do is there's an article on why NBC pulled Hair. You know, Hair Live was supposed to happen. NBC announced it.
Well, they almost said a year why. Ago. Is it a new why now?
Well, what do you think the why is?
Well, what do I think the why is?
What did they say?
What did they say originally?
Yep.
Oh, they were saying rating stuff originally.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons mm-hmm. that they told people. The other reason, there was two reasons. So the other reason was that Robert Greenblatt, who was the chairman that left mm-hmm. under a cloud, who was a big Broadway
advocate
musical fan,
it.
And we were worried it was going to go away. But you know what it was? It, actually, at least according to this article, which is from Adweek, is that the air date was May 29th, which is this last Sunday.
No, which is this upcoming Sunday.
Sorry, May 20, whatever this last Sunday was. Hold on, I'm going to come up with it. May 19th.
Mother's Day.
May 19th.
No.
May 19th was the date that they had announced, which mm-hmm. is this last Sunday. What else happened this last Sunday of note on the television sets?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. When they announced Game of Thrones, they pulled it. And then they decided to leave it pulled to come up with something else because of more. They want to do more family-friendly stuff. So I thought that was an interesting reason.
I still think it's all malarkey.
Of course
Smoke
you do.
Smoke and mirrors.
Of course you do.
You can keep putting out different statements. It was something different. Smokes and mirrors.
All right, we're going to take a little break.
And shame on them. It's a very topical musical that's wonderful. And shame on them for not doing it. It's shame on you, people. That's what I have to say.
There you go. Don't disagree. But he did also double down on his commitment for NBC to produce live musicals. Whether they're shows we want to see or not is to be
discussed.
I was
about to say, but you know, there's only... It's great they do the fluff, but you still got to give us the hair and the important work.
Yep.
It's fine for television. Sorry.
I personally would like to see more things like Jesus Christ Superstar was.
Exactly.
thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
Who here saw Jesus Christ Superstar live? Shame on you guys. Rebecca did.
Oh, Rebecca Malson. She
speak
is
into
like,
a microphone.
I did.
Well, I actually saw it because I taped it and then I watched the tape. I didn't
that
see
counts.
It when it
that
happened.
That counts.
That counts. That absolutely counts. All right. We're going to take a little break and we'll listen to a little Lauren Ambrose as we go away. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro.
Shiro and Sheps, Sheps and Shiro.
And Rebecca Melanson.
And a Melanson.
I was with a sprinkle of Melanson.
Just a sprinkle.
So I have to apologize to our listening audience. I believe we had a microphone hot during that whole time. So I apologize for the chatter over our underwriting.
You know what, though, Lisa? It wouldn't be us if we didn't show how the sausage was made.
We like to show the sausage. all right. Let's invite our first guest, which is the Vortex, and their show Chickens in the Yard by Paul. Paul, darn it. I'm so angry with you. I cannot pronounce your last name.
Cruz.
Yeah.
Cruz.
Like Jose Cruz. Oh.
Same pronunciation.
Oh, my God. You need to take a Valium today.
You grew up in Houston. You should have known him playing as the Astros. I mean, now he's a coach. Well, he's retired as coach.
I have no idea who you're even talking about.
Go sports team.
Oh, yeah.
He's an Astro. Used to be.
So, Mindy, say something to that microphone for me.
All right.
It's working. Okay, great. But get right. I'd like you to get really close to the microphones. Really... Okay, awesome. So, Paul Cruz, hi.
Hello.
Alice Stanley, hello.
Hello.
Kat Palacios.
Hello.
And Mindy Rast-Keenan.
It is me again.
It is you. Yay. Okay, so somebody tell us about this show. We have, so Paul, you are the playwright of this piece.
That's true. Yeah.
And you're not from around these here parts.
No, I grew up in western Wisconsin, but I I came to Austin from Pittsburgh. I was in Pittsburgh for about 6 years, which is actually where the play is set.
Cool. Well, tell us about it.
So it's the story of a gay couple navigating the families that they come from and the family that they want to make, all told through the eyes of the four chickens that live in their backyard.
Lovely. Well,
this
happens to me every night in my nightmares.
You the do chickens, have chickens part? At night?
I do indeed. Don't you? And Alice, you are the director?
Yes, and this production is going up at the Vortex Outdoor Space. And Paul and I saw a production of Stormstill there last year and pretty much immediately thought of this play because it's weird and gay and it takes place outside. So it's perfect.
So you were like, wait, you had that moment.
Stormstill was amazing. I mean, it was a great show.
It's a phenomenal show. Yeah, and such an interesting space. So we knew we wanted to get in there.
Yeah, and I love the Vortex Outdoor Spaces. And I don't know, are they doing things concurrently? Is there something happening in the indoor space at the same time?
I don't believe there is, no.
Oh, interesting.
That is interesting.
Curiouser
said Alice to the Caterpillar.
Like album release party like right after one of our shows, but apparently there is like an album release party after one of our shows, apparently. But
yeah, but it's not the like an actual like show running at the same. That's cool. So how many people are in the cast?
It's a 4-person cast, and their double cast is 4 humans and 4 chickens.
I was just about to say, so wait, are people double cast? Because we have
sure
chickens
are.
And couples. So wait. All right. So how does one direct a chicken?
Well, how does one direct a chicken?
Jim Henson says very badly.
First one brings on the best movement director they know, which is Sarah Maggard, to help create a choreography for chickens that is like the right amount of comical, I think.
I kind of love that there's choreography for chickens. That's
they didn't say choreography. They said movement.
She said choreography.
Did you just say choreography? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You said movement person.
But she said movement person, but then she said she created choreography for chickens.
There you go.
It's a combo.
See, if I didn't have Nicole to repeat everything other people say, I would not pay attention at all. Well, that's fascinating.
You make me sound like I'm a parrot.
No, it makes me sound like I make myself sound like an idiot. Mindy and Kat, tell us about your... I'm assuming y'all are playing a couple of chickens.
Yeah.
We are.
So if it's just... and there's 4 of you?
Yes.
So if the 4 of you are alone in the room, do you say, ain't nobody here but us chickens?
I was in my head sitting over here going, there ain't nobody here but us.
Yes, but we say it in translated chicken, so...
So these are chickens that are not speaking English.
No, we're real chickens, just that...
They just buck around.
They just buck
much.
Around.
They just buck around. Is there any English spoken at all in this piece?
By the
when
humans.
We are humans.
Oh, by the humans.
Oh, you're humans. Okay.
Yeah. We are chickens.
We're double cast as chickens and humans, so we morph into chicken and then morph out into
human. This is so fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. And therefore needing the movement director, I would think.
Yes. What's really fun is when you're a person and then you have to immediately become a chicken and like attack her and then immediately become a person again. Smoothly.
So smoothly.
So when you were writing this, Paul, how did you, was this in your head that you would have movement and you would have, like, how do you write this morphing, you know, using the characters and double casting?
Partly. So this, I have a theater company in Pittsburgh, which is where this play was first produced. So I was working with my good friend and director, Adil Mansour, and our fellow producer, whose name is actually Nicole Shiro.
Oh, that's so funny.
Seriously, really? Yeah, that's so funny.
S-C-H?
S-C-E-R-O. S-C-H-E-R-O.
Wow.
Yeah, same
way. Amazing.
That is really funny. Anyway, so working with that group of people, we also had a choreographer there, and we developed some of the movement. But what it comes from is my little brother has chickens in his backyard. And so we were watching these chickens one night, and all together, they kind of maybe make up a whole mind, but independently, they're pretty helpless. So it was just so interesting.
That is true about a chicken when you... Yeah. Well, I'm just finding this also fascinating.
I know, me too.
Well, and Alice is, they're bringing it to light in just like the most beautiful way. I'm like really excited for this production.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm just saying, and directing it in an outdoor space with all the multi.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So Kat, tell us what your character. I assume you then have two characters.
Yes.
Who are your characters?
I play as Abby Green, which is one of the Tom's younger sister, who comes and says, "I'm here for things," and not to give away too much. And then I also play as Anne Hutchinson, which is the new chicken that's introduced to the flock.
So the chicken's name is Anne Hutchins.
Yes.
And Mindy, what is your chicken's name?
Bruce Lee.
Because why not?
So the chickens have human names.
Yes.
Okay, of course they would.
Yeah.
Well, my dogs do.
And I spend a lot of time attacking Anne Hutchinson because I don't like her.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fight choreography as well.
Yes, because Bruce is an instigator.
And who is your human character?
My human character is John. That is Abby's brother's boyfriend.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So I hear you guys are going to do a little scene for us?
Yes.
Do we want to set that up? Does it need any setup at all?
I think we're ready.
Yeah, other than there's a reference. Oh, wait, no, that's early in the scene. Never mind.
Yeah, so, I think the only thing I'll add is that Abby is Tom's estranged sister. So they haven't known each other.
They haven't seen each other
lives.
In like
they're kind of getting
13
to know
years or something.
Got it. Yeah. All right, well, here's Mindy Raskinen and Kat Palacios doing a scene from the Vortex's production of Chickens in the Yard.
Can I ask you something personal?
Sure.
How old were you when you told her about you? About being gay?
Oh, I was young. Like 16. She knew before I knew.
Really?
Yeah, I think moms always know.
Oh.
Well, maybe not all moms. Ugh, I built it up so much in my mind. I made it so scary.
What about your dad?
He was different. Then I think dads are different.
Oh.
He came around, though. You know, coming out stories.
Coming out stories.
Can I ask you a personal question?
No.
All right.
And that's it.
And that's it. Well, you set someone down. What else is there to do?
I was like, how else do you answer?
I don't know.
Okay. So is this, I'm guessing this is a comedy. A dark comedy? Not a comedy.
It's a light drama.
A light drama.
Yeah, it's really a character piece. So there's a lot of watching this family enjoy each other, and there are some heavy things that happen. So it has lights and darks.
Great, just like my laundry. does...
That was a good one.
Is this performed in the round outside, or is it more of a one-sided?
Quarter round.
Kind of like the Black's Box, only outside.
Okay.
Like a thrust with two sides? Okay. Is that called something?
A wedge.
It's called a stuff. It's called a
wedge.
Stuff.
I like a wedge.
It's a wedge.
What is it called, really?
No, I just totally made that up. Totally made that up.
Two sides. That's how language works.
Yeah. We call it the vortex. Great. So what if, when do you guys open?
Friday.
Awesome. And how long do you play?
June 2nd.
Till June 2nd.
Two weeks.
And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to vortexrep.org.
Great. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully some or all of you can stick around and join us backstage.
Yay!
Thank you.
That was Alice Stanley, Paul Cruz, Mindy Raskinen, and Kat Palacios of the Vortex production of Chickens in the Yard by Paul Cruz, playing May 24th through June 2nd at the Vortex in the Yard. For more information, vortexrep.org.
Chick, 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 chicken. Lay a little egg for me.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Where did our microphone go?
It's right here.
Here's the problem with having a cabaret mic. It gets away from you.
No, I just put it right
and
there.
And now Rebecca Melanson can say
it was lost, but now it's found.
It was lost.
You guys were busy, so I stuck it right there.
There you go.
That was me.
Oh, excellent.
It was all
well cared for.
It was all Nicole.
I did it.
Thank you. All right. Let's switch gears.
Switch gears.
The City Theater and their show, Parallel Lives, which is written by Kathy
Najemi
and Mo Gaffney. And we have Roxy Becker.
Hello.
And Helen Rain Messenger.
Hello.
Hello. This is a raucous comedy.
It is.
Yes, mostly. Okay.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Hey, before we get going, Helen, could you give us, choose a number randomly between 2 and 54?
6.
Ooh, six.
We haven't had played up in the low,
let's see what
low
six
side
is.
These days.
We're going to play that right now.
That's exciting.
Hi, I'm David Lee Strasberg, creative director of the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Okay, can you do it once more with feeling?
If you want.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
I tell Lee Strasberg's son to
do it
emote.
Again with more feeling.
Oh, cool.
So, by the title of this show, Parallel Lives, I'm guessing that the two of you lead lives that are somewhat parallel.
Well, I suppose they're parallel because in the way that we are all parallel because we're all on the earth. which is flat, of course.
Well, of course.
And each of us play about, I don't know, I haven't counted, maybe 15, 16 different characters.
Yeah.
And they never truly interact until the very end.
Oh. So is it kind of a series of monologues till the end?
No, not exactly monologues.
There are some monologues, scenes. But then there are two-person scenes, but the particular characters that we play in each uh-huh. scene are different people. So... like one scene, there's one called Annette and Gina. So they are there, and you see Annette and Gina once.
And we're 16-year-old girls from New Jersey.
But you talk to each other.
We talk to each other.
In the two-person scenes.
Got it.
But sometimes there are long monologues where it's just one person on stage.
Got it. But you have a main character that meets up at the end.
I'm
just repeating what you said, that they don't talk to each other till the very end. I'm trying to figure out how that works.
At the end, the final scene, several characters come back from different scenes.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's called a moment.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
A big moment.
It is a lot of fun.
So, Helen, what is your favorite character that you play within this bevy of characters?
Oh, probably the one that we're going to do a scene from. Her name is Madeline Samuels.
I know Madeline. Yeah.
Yes.
You know Madeline Samuels?
Yeah, well, I went to school with her father, Dr. Samuels.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, so you know her.
I don't sit with him at football.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Roxy, what about you? What's your favorite character?
I'm thinking there's two.
Okay,
one
I'll
is a male
that.
Character named Hank. He's really dear and sweet and pitiful. And then Sylvia Dunleavy, who is Madeline's best friend for 43 years.
Is it Sylvia Dunleavy or Sylvia Dunleavy?
Dunleavy.
Okay.
But everybody calls her Civvy.
Of course. Why not?
Civvy.
Well, that's cool. Well, this seems to be the scene that you guys are going to do that we're just jump right into it. Does that make sense?
Sure. Makes sense.
Okay. So does this scene need setting up at all?
Well, if you can imagine two 60-something New Yorkers going into a health food restaurant for the first time in their lives.
Imagine it. I've lived it. Okay.
Rebecca Melanson's face was great.
This is Roxy Becker and Helen Rain Messenger doing a scene from City Theater's production of Parallel Lives.
Well, do you see anyone here? A hostess, a waitress, maid of D?
Oh, right here. Hello, darling.
Oh, hello, honey. We're here with the Women's Studies Field Trip Department. Is there a special section we should sit in? We're here to see Holly and Molly sing Sister, Woman, Sister. We want to sit with our class.
Maybe we should introduce ourselves. I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I didn't introduce. I'm sorry, you're right. I'm wrong.
You're not wrong, darling.
No, I'm glad you said something.
No, it doesn't matter. She doesn't care who we are.
I used to remember she'd forget. We're switching. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
But I am. All right. My name is Madeline Samuels, and this is my best friend in the entire universe. 43 and a half years. Can you believe it?
My name is Sylvia Dunleavy, but please call me Civ.
Everybody does.
It's
nice to meet you. We're with the Women's Studies Department Junior College Extension Program. Oh, we love it. 2 years we've been there. Tell her the story, darling. She doesn't know us.
Well, a couple of years ago, Matt and I decided to go back to school.
Single again? Why the hell not?
We wanted to take a real estate course, but it was all filled up.
So what we did was we went down to the registry Straw's office and we took a look at through the book, you know, the hibiscus or whatever.
Yeah, the big book.
The class list to see what they had to offer.
We didn't know.
We didn't care. And we see big as day, women's studies. And we think, whoa!
Whoa!
We got the prerequisite for this course.
We're women!
At the time, we had no idea. Women's studies. We thought it'd be a little macrame.
Maybe some child rearing?
Some whip stitching.
No very serious courses.
Oh my God. What fun is that? You remind me of my Aunt Rose and my Aunt Shirley.
Oh, good. Fabulous.
Yes, you do. What fun. How much fun is that to play? Are all the scenes similarly fun?
Many of them are, yes. And the opening scene, which I don't want to do, but we could give you away. We are supreme beings who are deciding on how the world should be. Like, you know, skin color.
Well, yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be an omnipotent
exactly.
being. Like we are in real life.
Exactly.
So, who is directing this piece?
Andy
Burkowski. Oh, Andy is... They said that in unison. Okay. So Andy Burkowski, who is the artistic director of City Theater, is directing it. It's good.
Yes.
He doesn't direct a lot these days.
Just
so
thinking,
it's nice.
Like Andy hasn't directed in a while.
Yeah, so that's good. It'll be good to see stuff that he's doing. And y'all are at the Trinity Street Theater.
We will be, yes.
Okay, and folks should know that City Theater is still trying to get their place open. I would encourage folks, if they want more information about what City Theater is doing to try to get reopened, to go to citytheateraustin.org, because it's important that they reopen.
Yes,
it
I'm
is.
I'm going to just say that. As somebody who runs a theater that went through the very same thing he's going through.
I was going to say, you know. You
so it's
speak.
Important. So citytheateraustin.org. So can I bring my child to this show?
We do drop the F-bomb a couple times.
Okay.
Also, what else should we know about this?
There's nothing explicit.
Right, so if you're okay with some mild profanity, exactly. Then you're okay with your kids coming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. I have to tell you this, that I'm a pacifist and I don't like dropping bombs of any kind.
Oh, yes. I never say F-bomb. I don't know why I said that. I just didn't
just
know
saying
how to
that.
Say
no, that. Was that
she was being saying that. Smarty pants.
That is exactly the way you should have said it.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, it was perfect.
You done good, kid.
Thank you.
It just seems like a lot of fun. Is it one act or two?
Two acts.
Dos actos.
Dos actos.
yeah, that's so. Forgive me. That was just terrible. You know. Yeah.
Oh, Lisa.
No more said.
So
you brighten my day.
We do the opening night is May 30th.
Yep.
And that plays Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 8, and Sunday at 3. Until June 15th. So there's no Sunday that last weekend.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
At the Trinity Street Theater, which is a lovely place. Have you haven't moved in there yet?
Not yet.
So
this week? Are we
this
doing?
Week?
I was like, probably got to be coming up.
Great. Yeah. And so what, I am going to guess the rehearsal process in a show like this is just got to be a fun room to be in.
It is. Yeah. Helen is amazing to play with. And in fact, at callbacks, we had, I just was like, oh, please let me get it, but please let it be Helen. I don't want to get it. So it was really lovely to play in the callbacks, and it's been fabulous.
How long have y'all been working on it?
Oh,
a couple weeks.
A few weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the piece. Has it mm-hmm. been around for a while?
Yes, it was written in the 90s. These two women, New Yorkers, wrote... I think that this script in particular, there's some additions, but the first edition of Parallel Lives was written in 92, something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And they've had multiple runs in New York and in Los Angeles.
Awesome.
It's amazingly, some of the topics, though, are amazingly
relevant.
Still very relevant.
Yeah, it's, you know, unfortunately, that seems to be true with a lot of things.
I know.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. You open May 30th and you're playing at the Trinity Street Theater. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
You said it earlier. City Theater, Austin. Austin.org and theaters with an R-E.
Yeah, you don't have to say that to my audience, but the thought is appreciated. Well, great. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Thanks
hopefully
so
you can stick around and join us back by the dumpsters backstage.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great. That was Roxy Becker and Helen Rain Messenger of City Theater's production of Parallel Lives, opening May 30th, playing through June 15th at the Trinity Street Theater. For more information, citytheater.org. And I chose this song because this is such a female-centric, powered show that's got a lot of energy, and you're kind of on the verge of a nervous breakdown. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
And Rebecca Melanson.
You're here.
She tried to give up the microphone. I shoved it back into her hand.
I have it now.
So we're going to talk a little local stuff. I didn't really prepare a lot because I thought we were going to be running low of time, but our third guest has departed. We'll talk a little bit about what I know about their project, which is very little. But let's... let's talk about what's happening right now. Because they haven't scheduled to come on the show, I wanted to mention that Capital T Theater has brought back Wakey Wakey.
Yes, last week they opened.
Because they had a nice little run in Austin, and then they went to Houston.
Into H-Town.
Then Will Eno had pictures with Ken Webster. Hanging out together, and now they're back in Austin doing it again.
I know.
So if you want information about that, it's capitalt.org. And it's at Hyde Park Theater. What are the dates?
It opened last Thursday, I believe.
Yep, and it plays through June 1st. Mm-hmm. Voila. And I'm going straight into Today in Theater History, unless you have something you want to talk about.
The Ballad of Klook and Vinette, a new musical with Roderick Sanford and Chanel, this is the final weekend for that. And
yep. That's over at Zach
Voices
Theater.
Voices together. Oof. Yep. And that's ZachTheater.org.
ZachTheater.org. Mindy, you're like ramping up like you have something you want to talk about.
Well, I just want to belong in the circle, so I can back up to the mic.
You do belong in the circle. Lovely. We're happy to have you. She has the bravery to be here up next to us. So we're going to do Today in Theater History, unless I meet any objections
today
from anybody.
Today in Theater History?
Today in Theater History.
What happened, Lisa?
Well, in 1907, one man was born, and his name was Laurence Olivier.
Oh, and Lisa, do you know anyone who has his autograph?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I pulled it out and I have it framed, and I had it set next to my car, my door, to bring here today to show everybody, but then I decided not to bring it.
Damn you, Lisa.
Yes.
You are cursed. Well,
so Laurence Olivier
like
has
that
a,
I brought that up today, though?
I do. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was giving you an intro.
Yeah, you did a good job. In 1909, I found this is interesting.
Not far after.
No, about 2 years,
yes,
if I'm doing my math
you
correctly.
You are.
J.J. Schubert of the Schubert Organization tells the New York Dramatic Mirror that the Schubert Organization is now in a position to play 40 weeks coast to coast, owing to theaters they own outrider control. So
that was actually pretty big then.
Yeah, 40.
Yeah.
And now they control, or in the coming season, the next season, they would control 100 different things.
They went from 1907 to 1908 from 40 to 100 and something?
No, they said they could play 40 weeks. This doesn't really, this
so
is
this
not
So this gives you weeks and then numbers, and
yeah,
they make
so
the numbers.
So you really can't make
the
comparison.
Yes, got it.
1945, Othello had a limited engagement at the City Center, starring Paul Robeson.
Interesting.
He came back for that, and minor cast, including Jose Ferrer and Uta Hagen.
Oh, gosh, that's
so Jose,
a cast,
so
man.
Paul Robeson is Othello, Jose Ferrer is Iago, and Uta Hagen as Desdemona.
You
can you imagine?
Watch, I'm going to have to ask Mabel if she... My grandmother's going to be like, oh, that was a good one. I saw that.
I remember I studied abroad in Stratford, and one of the things I wanted to know was about, like, you know, Shakespeare, even for the time... I mean, yes, it's based around that time period, but some of the issues that it deals with are still relevant today. And one of them, I looked up in their archives, how did they feel about Othello being a black man, but also being a noble man and being respected based on, you know, racism at the time. And it was interesting. I found an article that was about in the 1930s, and it was like the first time a black man had gotten to play the part with the RSC. And, you know, and it was, of course, a racist reporter because it was the 1930s. But the interesting part of it was the reporter said, we have to remember this part was written for a white actor and Shakespeare is always right. And I was just like, wait a minute. So as long as you can put in your mind that this is actually a white story, you're okay with it?
I didn't understand what you just said around this. I understood that the part was written for a white actor, but "and Shakespeare was always right" sort of mystifies me. What's that mean?
I assume it's the you can't alternate, or that's not the word I'm looking for, from the original intent, which also when it comes to art is stupid.
This was this person's opinion.
Yeah, this was okay. A reporter. Yeah, no. That was what the reporter wrote. That's not what I wrote.
Okay.
But yeah, that's interesting. Just a mind-boggling thing of as long as you can change it in your mind to be like, oh, this isn't an actual story about a black guy or a Jewish guy or whatever that you find problematic, as long as you can change it in your mind to knowing that the actor is who you want it to be.
Interesting.
Which is sad and...
Oh, it's sad.
Confusing and interesting and all those other words.
Settle the air. We're going to take a really quick break and listen to some underwriting announcements.
Testing. 3 o'clock rock block. Co-op. 3 o'clock rock block. Monday, the radio still screams. Tuesday, under the eternal night. Wednesday, rock and roll pest control. Thursday, punk melody time. Friday, the last roundup. 3 o'clock rock block. Weekdays, co-op.
Co-op is supported by Master Pancake Theater. Master Pancake Theater is the Alamo Drafthouse tradition of pairing movies with live comedy and beer. Master Pancake features slacker wisecracker John Erler and a rotating band of comics. For more information, you may go to drafthouse.com.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Rebecca Melanson.
Hello!
And we're...
played me that time.
Yeah, and then
I thought that worked
Nicole
really
answered.
Well.
Yeah, but I was giving my hello. I thought you were going to say hello too, like she introduced both of us.
So we're going to continue on with today in theater history. So
okay.
To review, we just heard about Paul Robeson playing Othello. We had a lovely discussion about that. We talked about Laurence Olivier having a birthday, and we also talked about the Schubert Organization. See, I do that like they do on television when they come back and they just repeat everything you just saw during
recap.
Yeah, in the morning shows, you get it 30 times. You're like,
so this is interesting. In 1956, there was an offer. There's my phone again.
Yeah, no, but I can't figure. Oh, it's in your
that's
pocket.
Mormon,
in
right?
your
oh, it's in my
tiny
pocket.
That's why I'm like, that hello sounded close.
It's in my back pocket.
Yes.
Okay. So when did we lose control of this show?
I
from
think
the very
about
beginning.
10 years ago. Yeah.
Speaking of that, we'll take we'll talk about that at the end. 1956, The Littlest Review. This is conceived, cast, and assembled by Ben Bagley. It opened off Broadway at the Phoenix Theater. Here's this cast. It's just a great cast. Joel Grey, Tammy Grimes, and Charlotte Ray. And they perform songs by Ogden Nash and Vernon Duke. I did a show called...
Okay, that's so cool.
I did a show with all Ogden Nash stuff, and we did this thing. It said, The Golden Treasury of Ogden Nashery. Okay, the end of that.
Okay, that's funny.
Let's see, 1967. This is the death anniversary of Langston Hughes. Just went a whole different...
What year was that?
1967.
That's a long time ago. I didn't think it. I thought it was sooner.
Yeah. 2001, Full Monty launched its national tour. Like, I don't know why that made this list, but it is.
Because it's fun.
And here's an interesting thing. I wasn't going to talk about this, but since we have the time, and this seems like something you would know that I didn't know at the time, but I was very confused when I first read this. It said, in 2002, Broadway loses a mass media champion today. And this was the day that Rosie O'Donnell's show went off the air. And I never consider it a Broadway champion, although she was the first to bring on all these people to do segments of shows.
I was like,
I did not realize that. And that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, yeah, like all the, and then soon after Kathy Lee and Regis started following, like all of those shows did. But that was not... There wasn't Today Show in the Plaza, Broadway Week. Like, none of that existed until Rosie.
So she had three different Tony Award shows, and she featured cast from Thoroughly Modern Millie, Chicago, Beauty and the Beast, Phantom of the Opera, 42nd Street, and The Producers.
I used to go see that show all the time. They used to call me to be a guest, and I loved it because we had so much food and tchotchkes and stuff sitting on our... She served us milk and ding-dongs while we waited.
Milk and ding-dongs was my sorority name in college.
I mean, who did... I'm like, oh! And then you had koozie. Like, you would... I loved going. I always had a good time.
Well,
I would go anytime I could when they called. I was like, yes, I will be in the audience today.
There you go. And so the last thing I want to talk about is Fosse Verdon. Has anybody watched Fosse Verdon? I'm up. I've watched every single episode.
I have a lot to say, and but I'm two episodes behind. I caught up to the fifth. What would you like to say? You were mentioning to me how you've read some articles and you were saying how the media was talking about how this was turning it around. I do not think this plays Gwen in a very good light.
It plays her in a terrible light.
I literally was like, I'm beginning to not like you, and I have always liked you.
It shows her in a terrible light.
It shows her in a terrible light of what I ever thought of her. And I'm like, what? How is Bob Fosse look like the victim here? It's very... Like I and I'm only like literally watched the fifth, and I was like, "What is going on?"
And all the pre-marketing. Has anybody else seen it? No, because nobody.
No, I'm sorry. I just know that people who have seen it are like, "Please tell me a talented person who had a good upbringing. Please give me examples." So I had to contribute to that.
Okay. So yeah, the press prior to coming out, and interviews with the person that wrote the screenplay or the teleplay, talked about how they were trying to flip the switch and show us that Verdon was the brains behind the genius.
She looked like a bully. She looks like a crazy bully. I'm like, whoa.
I would like to say it gets much better, although last night's episode was my favorite thus far. And it's around the production of Chicago.
I was like, it's around Chicago.
And it was the episode itself was done in the flavor of Chicago, where she was the narrator at the beginning, mm-hmm. like the movie Chicago is.
So I have 6 and 7, and I am going to get on it because 5 made me so upset with her. And I was like, I got to get past this because I love this woman. I always have. So, yeah.
And it makes, if I was Anne Ryan Keene, I'd be angry because they make her look like a total idiot.
I was thinking that one too, and she's like a brainless, not an idiot,
spineless
and she does
person.
She does so much good work. And her son has this one disorder, and she does work philanthropy. She's still core. I'm like that. Just that doesn't seem no.
So
yeah, and Gwen was not nice to her at times. I was like, whoa. Well, at least how they have this portrayed in this show,
which is coming from coming from Fosse's biography, evidently.
I know.
So
which I read, but I don't remember getting this view. I've read this book this is based on, and I don't remember having such a visceral reaction to the book as I have to watching it. I was yelling at her. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to leave the last little piece. I'm doing this in bits and pieces, and then we'll take a little break, and we'll come back and wrap up. But in 2012, February House opened up. This was written by Gabriel Kahane and Seth Bockley. It's a musical that centers around Bohemian residents in Brooklyn Heights particularly the address of 7 Migda Street. It was at the Public Theater. It starred Julian Fleischer, Stanley Behorek, and Casey Shaikh. And Erica Lockfeld. The characters they're playing are George Davis, Benjamin Britten, Gypsy Rose Lee, W.H. Auden, and Carson McCullers. And we had talked about this when it opened, which was, God, only 8 years ago. So we're going to hear a little bit as we go to break.
Oh,
so,
you found music for it.
It's got a cast album. Here we go.
Really?
Today is no ordinary.
We have 3 minutes to wrap up, which is really great. Oh, I should say, and I did not write. Oh, I do have a little bit of information. The people, the guest that did not come on was from Lucky Chaos, and this is the first ever People of Color Comedy Festival, which is a huge deal.
Huge.
I think. Mm-hmm. It is May 24th and 25th at the AISD Performing Arts Center. It's done in conjunction with the Austin Convention and Visitors Bureau. And you can get more information at luckychaos.com. If you go to luckychaos.com, you'll see bits and pieces and their lineup. And it looks like a whole bunch of fun.
And the space that they're at is really a nice little theater and everything.
Well, I don't know if they're in the big theater. I assume they're in the black box.
But it's that whole space, that complex, yep, is really fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It is nice. So coming up in the next few weeks is going to be our 10-year anniversary.
Isn't that crazy?
We've been on the... I know!
I decided to go see Hugh Jackman to celebrate.
Oh, good. Mazel tov to Hugh. So that's going to be exciting. As befitting the way we always do things, we probably won't do anything special other than mention that it's, 10 years. I keep having visions of grandeur on these milestones.
Maybe
that
I'll get Hugh Jackman to jump out of a birthday cake.
I'd be all good.
He probably
I'll be here.
Yeah. But thanks everybody for coming on. You can get information at offstageonair.com. You can see links to all the stories we talked about and many of the stories we didn't talk about. And then you can also get us on the podcast. You can listen to Backstage at Offstage by getting us through the iTunes podcast store or on our website.
Offstageonair.com. Just enter your little name in the email there, and voila, Lisa Nicole and Rebecca Melanson arrive in your mailbox.
In our last 20 seconds, who's heard of a homunculus, Anthem Homunculus podcast?
No.
Who's heard of John Cameron Mitchell?
I've heard that name.
Who's heard of Patti LuPone, Glenn Close? These are all people that are part of this podcast musical, which hasn't gotten really great reviews.
This is the one I've been talking about that I've been anticipating for weeks. Yes.
So it is happening. It's a 10-episode, 5-hour saga featuring more than 30 original songs, as well as stars like Patti LuPone and Glenn Close. So we'll go out listening to a little bit from Homunculus, and it is a song called Dun Ta Da Dun, Everybody Look.
Everybody look, don't
bye, everybody.
Close your eyes. Seen it all, you're in for surprise, everybody. La 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 la, look now. 2 + 1 to me equals.
But the curtain has just come down on Sweaty the Musical, the story of two star-crossed lovers trying to kiss, but their lips keep slipping away from each other because they're too darn sweaty. Which, by the way, was my sorority name in college. true story. Here joining us backstage, we have Roxy Becker. Hi, Roxy.
Hello, Lisa.
And we're making Roxy hold her own microphone because that's how we roll. We have Alice Stanley. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
And we have Mindy Raskinen.
Hello.
Sitting in the seat that she always sits in.
I know. If it ain't broke, don't get it with a chainsaw.
And we have Helen Rain Messenger. Also. Hi. Sitting in the seat she always sits in.
Yes, this is my favorite chair.
Yeah, it is your favorite chair. Well, welcome to Backstage.
Thank you.
So, Helen, I heard a rumor before we went on the air that you used to be here, and then you weren't here, and now you're here. What's that all about?
This is true. I think this is true for a lot of us.
A lot of us in this room?
A lot of us in this room.
Really? Is that true?
Roxy,
anybody?
And you, Lisa, lived in New York at some point.
Yes, but I wasn't here before.
Oh, well, Roxy, you were.
I was born in Austin.
Yeah, me too. We were born in the same hospital.
Were you at the same time in the same bed?
Close okay.
enough. And I left when I was 9.
I moved to New York.
Helen, you were cracking me up. I wish the video camera was live right now. Okay, come on. You moved to New York.
I did.
City?
New York City. I lived in
Not Astoria. Utica. You weren't living in Utica.
No.
Okay. You live in Astoria. That's a nice place.
Yeah, I went to Astoria. I had it in my mind. I had an actor friend who lived in Astoria. He grew up down the street from me, and he said, I lived in Astoria. So I told myself I should live in Astoria.
Well, you were bucking the trend. Everybody's moving to Brooklyn. You needed to go to Queens.
Well, Queens has the best food. Well, so many different kinds of people. Hook bars.
Great place to find an heir if you're a prince in an African country.
Probably so. I could see that.
Coming to America, y'all.
Oh. Were they in Queens?
Yeah, it's okay. Where are we going to find someone fit for a king?
Oh, Queens. Right, in Queens. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. I love that show. That's one of the shows that if it's on, I just watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Another one that, and I'm sorry, we'll get back to you in a second because it all comes back to me. Another one that I watch all the time, and I did it yesterday too, watch the whole damn thing, is 51st Dates.
It's cute.
It's cute.
It's very cute.
It's cute.
Oh,
okay.
The one with Adam Sandler? Is that
That's the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Didn't even know there was another one.
I thought you were saying 51st.
Well, there's
like,
going
there's
to
51
be
dates.
Like another street.
Coming to America.
Oh, that's right. I heard
they're
that.
Making a sequel, oh. Yeah, which confuses me.
Yeah. So, Helen, back to you. You lived in Queens. You were here. Mm-hmm. You moved to Queens, and you came back. Were you pursuing theater in New York?
I was. Yes.
How'd it go?
It went well. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of theater. A lot of times, I was running from one performance to a rehearsal.
Lovely. Like that's always good.
Yeah, it was really good. I actually didn't come right back from New York, though.
Where'd you go?
I moved into a camper van.
Okay.
And traveled around the country playing music.
Lovely. So you play music then?
I do. I write songs and I play guitar and I play bass.
So how was that experience for you?
Quite enlightening.
In a good way?
In the best of ways. I don't think that I would be, I don't know, who I am if I hadn't done it. I traveled for about 5 years.
Wow. And did you just wake up and say, I'm going to stick a pin in a map or try to stick a pin into your iPhone map? And
well, it happened naturally, actually.
Awesome. Yeah. So we'll have to talk because that's in my game plan. Well, cool. So how long were you in New York?
I was in New York for almost 5 years.
Okay. And so both you and Roxy were born in the same hospital. Did y'all go to the same high school?
No,
I went to Wimberly High School.
In Wimberly, Texas?
Wimberly, Texas.
And you were in and went to McCallum. Okay. Mm-hmm. Before it was the performing arts school.
Long before.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. So you're from Wimberly.
Yes.
Driftwood,
technically. Oh. Okay. But nobody's really. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny.
It's a T intersection.
Exactly. Yeah. The Salt Lake is there.
The Salt Lake is there, and that's the only reason why anybody would know
and
Driftwood.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Camp Bend, but people really know the Salt Lake.
Right.
And Camp Bend is across the street.
Right. Exactly.
Did you do theater here in Austin or in Wimberly? And
I did. Yes.
Driftwood. Did you? Were you part of the Driftwood Players?
I am the only Driftwood player.
Their performance of Cat was just fantastic.
Yes, I did theater with Wimberly High School, and we did the one-act plays and all that.
Great.
Performed at State a few times and had a ball.
Did you have a one-act, and this can be, everybody can answer this, because in high school, if you did the speech tournaments and the drama tournaments, and you were doing a duets or one-act, did you always do the same one like I did? Never did anything different?
I
every
only
year?
Did one-act plays, so it was different.
Oh, one-act plays. Yeah, we did duets. Yeah. Me and my friend Brian Herskowitz did Sleuth every single time.
Can you still do it?
I can, as a matter of
can
fact.
Can we have a snippet?
No, you cannot. It was a different era. Oh, there's lots of differences from back then. Yes, we did do Sleuth, which we talked about on the show last week. And you guys know this because you listen every week.
Of course.
So Mindy, Alice, and Roxy, you all have all been backstage before. So we really know everything there is to know about you.
You've really revamped the dumpster.
Well, there's all this construction going on, and that's why this is a red dumpster versus the usual gray ones. So what's new in y'all's lives? What's new that we can talk about?
And other than the show, I'm actually working on producing the film, a short that we were both in.
She's pointing to Roxy.
Yes. Yeah, because pointing is so great in audio format.
Correct.
I'm actually going to make Sufficient into a short film.
Awesome.
I know.
This is a piece that we did in Out of Ink last year.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So.
Out of Ink is a 10-minute play festival that is done by Scriptworks.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. I was so grateful I got to be a part of it. But yeah, and I have a producer lined up. I have a location lined up. And it's all about this down-on-her-luck actress who never gets to be cast in anything because of favoritism. But all of a sudden, the coach comes in because the main director has been arrested, something to do with pine cones and nudity. And so she gets her chance to shine because her new buddy decides to fake an injury and let her get cast, and well, it's a really cute little comedy.
That's awesome. You are getting into the producing realm then.
I know. It's so
weird. Have you done anything like that before?
Not kind of, but not really. I mean, I've kind of been forced into the board of the Austin Summer Musical for Children, which we are revamping in order to make a much more sustainable company. But beyond that, it's like I'm an actor and I don't know how to do the things. And I know I need to know how to do the things, but I don't know how to do the things.
Well, you're going to learn how to do the
things.
I
am going to learn how to do the things. And I just screamed and I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. We're good.
Yeah.
Is there any information out there about this short that you could point people to?
Not yet. Okay. Pretty soon I need to get back with the producer. He's working on a music video. And so after that, he's like, we're going to start working on this. And he's nearing the end of that. So when that happens, I will be putting out all like the casting notices. Great. And things. And
We will look forward to seeing that.
Because it's a delightful little short.
Alice, you and I were talking before we went on to the air. And you and I have been talking to each other for a while now. But I wasn't really totally aware of all the things that you have done until I read your bio for Chickens, 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 Chickens in the Yard.
Kentucky Fried Chickens in the Yard.
So you've done a lot of stuff. You've founded a theater.
Mm-hmm.
You're a playwright. You're a director. Are you also an actor?
Not a good one or a happy one. Yeah. So
no. I hear you.
The last part's the most important part.
Right.
And, of course, you're in the MFA program right now at UT. That's a lot of stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So tell us about, and you're also casting a relatively wide net. Do you have a focus that you would prefer?
So I'm kind of trying to hang on to doing all the things as long as I can. Mm-hmm. So I'm a director and writer, and then I started making film as a way of unifying those things, and it turns out that's just adding a third job.
Yeah.
Now I have three.
Yeah. I find I don't know that I find it because I've not really done any, but film seems to be such a different discipline than theater that they don't, other than, and I would even say that from an acting standpoint, they're very different as well. Mm-hmm. So it seems they don't easily translate to one another, in my opinion.
No, they truly don't. Especially, I mean, I write extremely wordy plays, and extremely wordy films are bad. So there's that. And then the performance is just like a several day long cue to cue.
That's true.
And that's where the performance lives.
That's a great way to put it. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that the first time I was ever on a film set, this was back in the 80s during the heyday of videos, and a friend of mine was doing a video, and I was the first time I was ever on a set, and there was a lot of sitting around doing nothing. Then all of a sudden they'd say, okay, let's go, and then be like a hive of bees getting everything ready, and like 30 seconds on a shot, and then back to nothing again. And I think a cue to cue is a really great way of saying that.
Mm-hmm. I would not be a happy actor doing film, I think.
Well, I was in one of the days I was an extra for Leftovers. I just took a nap on set for however long, and nobody stopped me. Nobody. No.
You still got paid.
You can pretty much do whatever as an extra. I did a lot of that in New York, and I almost pulled my hair out because I hated it. I was going crazy.
It is exhausting.
There's only so many, books you can read and observations you can make and people you can meet and re-meet again. And before you're just like, I want to be acting.
I want to play.
Yeah. Well, but that's not what being an extra is. So right. You have to know that. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And then there's voice work on top of that where it's like you have to act here and that's it. And so you have to, as somebody who's an actor who has been trained to be like, you need to get more training on how to work the mic, who is known for being all over the place, deciding that I want to be a voice actor is like, what are you doing to yourself? Because I know I'm good at it, but I also have to be like right here, which is even smaller than in film.
It's good. Again, wish we had the video to really capture the
I know, because
complete
what my hands are doing is always good for audio. As I say that I'm going to be a voice actor, you know, you can tell that I'm talented in that regard.
So has anybody been to New York lately and seen anything that is currently running and may or may not be up for a Tony Award?
I went last summer, like I said, and I got to see Bragging Rights Hamilton, Kinky Boots, and The Play That Goes Wrong, and all of them were fantastic. That's how I got the quip about Cat.
Yeah, awesome. Cat was a great one. By the way, I meant to mention it on the terrestrial radio. Hamilton, as we all know, is coming here to Austin. It's going to be playing 3 weeks. What everybody may not know is that there's going to be a lottery. And it's, I think it's, I don't know how many, 20, 25, $10 tickets. You can sign up every day. There's an app. I have it on my phone.
Oh, wow.
And it's the same Hamilton app that every Hamilton has. And
you just put in your location and it knows.
You don't put in your location. It has the shows. It has
performance date.
New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Currently it has East Lansing and San Antonio. And I haven't checked today. Austin may be on it, but I would encourage folks, if they want to see Hamilton when it's here in town, to go ahead and get that app.
Yeah. Yes.
If you want to go to San Antonio right now, go put it on and start signing up right this very moment.
Yeah.
I do know people that have won the lottery in New York, so it's doable.
Fantastic. Yeah, and I will say that is the one thing, a period film, plays, et cetera, that lived up to the hype. And considering how much hype there is for Hamilton, that is a feat. Like, when it was over, I was literally sitting in my chair. I could not move. I could not speak. I was just, like, in just utter puddle of awe until finally I was like...
Again, video would have been really great right now. You know, Hamilton's wonderful. Anybody else seen Hamilton yet? Yeah, it's a wonderful piece. I'm going to be seeing it a week from today.
Yay!
As a matter of fact, so that's
and Kinky Boots and Play That Goes Wrong also both phenomenal. Play That Goes Wrong. I would love to see Austin do Play That Goes Wrong.
Both of
that
them play.
It was just recently.
Yeah, it was just here.
Oh yeah, well I mean touring, but I mean like us doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I that might be a challenge. For
it
us.
Might be. It is a set designer's dream,
or nightmare, depending
or nightmare.
On how you put it.
Nightmare dream.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We're basically running out of time. Anybody have anything? Alice, you've been pretty quiet. Of course, I spoke for you a little while ago.
Yeah, that was helpful.
Give us a gem about you that we don't know. Or maybe we know and we want to hear it again.
I don't know.
You don't know? All right.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you this about you because it's also about
Thank
me
you.
At the same time.
Please help me.
Ground Floor Theater is producing a piece that Alice wrote that's just amazing called Rainfall Special on Me that deals with people experiencing homelessness. And they just put a lot of really great work into it and so proud to be doing it at Ground Floor Theater. So
awesome.
And I'm proud that they are allowing us to, quite frankly. So that's and that's Alice Stanley. You'll be hearing more of her. Anybody have any musicals that's in their wish list of things that they might want to do or even see other than Hamilton?
Nope. I know that there's something like I need to find out. There was a Texas Shakespeare Touring Festival that apparently they're also going to be auditioning for Into the Woods.
Oh, interesting.
Into the Woods is, and it's like $500 a week. Around, you have to be around Colleen, but still.
There you go.
But yeah.
And who's doing it? Texas Shakespeare?
Yeah.
It's okay. We don't have time to look it up.
All right, but yeah, it's like
you
something
can Google
like
it.
That. Yeah, it's like around Colleen or something, some touring Shakespeare festival.
Great. Well, we'll cool. We'll look that up and we'll look it up.
Yes.
So looking forward to seeing all your shows, and we're so happy that y'all join us backstage here at the Red Dumpster.
Thanks for the snacks.
Thanks for having
me. Snacks are good. That's the good thing about dumpsters, all you can eat. See you later, you guys.
Something you never knew on the steps of the palace.